Dr. Edward Michelson is professor and chairman of the Department of Emergency Medicine at Texas Tech Health Sciences Center, El Paso. He joins us now to give us a COVID-19 update in the area. Dr. Michelson, thank you so much for joining us. How are COVID-19 numbers looking in El Paso right now as we move towards the end of the year holidays?
Well, thanks very much for having me back, Anthony. It's good to speak with you, and happy holidays. Unfortunately, COVID numbers are going up in the borderland at a concerning rate. We've had a over 18% positivity rate in our community now for over 2 weeks, going on three. And these were the types of positivity rates we saw a year ago when our cases were absolutely surging. So it is an item of concern.
Do we have an idea of what is causing this surge with COVID-19 cases?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, especially as I look across the rest of Texas. The rest of the state is not seeing the increase in number of cases and number of hospitalizations that we have here in El Paso. I just was looking at the data this morning, and over the last roughly 6 or 8 weeks, numbers of COVID patients in Texas hospitals, excluding El Paso County, have actually gone down by about 250, and the number in ICUs have also gone down another 100. In that same period of time, we have tripled the number of cases of patients with COVID-19 in the hospital here in El Paso. Donna Ana County is having a similar problem as well, with the hospitals in Las Cruces being really heavily overrun with COVID cases. So the real question is, what's going on? What is different about our borderland region than the rest of the state? And I don't know if I have the exact answer, but I have a couple of ideas.
Okay, we'd like to hear them.
Well, we took pride in the fact this summer that while the rest of the state was experiencing a wave of cases, we saw minimal increases here in El Paso. At that time, I attributed this success, or relative success, to the fact that we had really done such a great job of getting our community vaccinated. Today, that success continues. We are at about 71% of all individuals over the age of 5, and that's individuals who can receive the vaccine, 5 and up, about 71% are fully vaccinated. Compare that to the rest of Texas, which is only at about 60%. We continue to do better than the rest of the state. So why is it that we're now seeing more cases? And I think one possible explanation could be the fact that many of our citizens got their vaccines early in the game. El Pasoans were quick to take on signing up for their vaccines and getting jabs in their arms last spring. And we now have some evidence that antibody levels decline over time. And after about 6 to 7 months, the antibody levels produced by vaccines, by being fully vaccinated, drop off and perhaps make us more vulnerable to getting infected again. So this could possibly explain why here in El Paso we're seeing a rise in cases. If many people who got their vaccinations last February and early March have now hit that 6-month mark and have declining levels.
Health officials have encouraged getting a booster shot for those who are eligible. Are we seeing the numbers of folks getting booster shots like we saw earlier this year with people getting their initial vaccine?
So the answer is there's been good uptake of booster shots, and I highly recommend individuals who are out 6 months or longer go ahead and get their booster. We now know that you can also mix and match. So if you got Moderna for your first two shots, it's perfectly acceptable to get Pfizer and vice versa. For the small number of people in our community who got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which at the time was considered one and done, you definitely need to get at least a second dose of J&J or switch over to getting a Pfizer or Moderna. But we do have some evidence that getting the booster tremendously increases your antibody levels. And I think that is going to be the best pathway out of the current issue with the rise in cases.
Okay, now Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center in El Paso has been awarded a $1.7 million grant from the National Institutes of Health as part of an effort to test treatments on COVID-19 patients. Can you share with us a little bit more about this project and what we're seeing with it so far?
Yes, we're really pleased to be able to take part in this effort. And we are participating in two trials. One is called ACTIV-6, A-C-T-I-V-6. This is a national effort. We're one of many centers that are enrolling patients in this outpatient trial, which is looking at repurposing existing FDA medications for use against COVID-19. And when I mention outpatient, what that means is this is for individuals who have been diagnosed with COVID, are within roughly the first week or 10 days of that diagnosis, and are willing to take one of currently three different medications that are available, but who are not sick enough to need to be in the hospital. And the goal of this trial is to see whether these medications help to keep people out of the hospital so they don't get an advanced level of disease that would require them to go on oxygen and be in the hospital. The first three medications that we're looking at are ivermectin, which has been in the news quite a bit, fluvoxamine, which is a psychiatry medication. It's used to treat some patients with depression and other psychiatric illnesses, and an inhaled steroid that's used for patients with asthma. So individuals who agree to participate will pick one of those three lanes, and they have a 50-50 chance of getting the real medication or a matched placebo. The patients won't know, and we won't know, whether they're getting the actual medicine or a matched placebo. The entire study takes place outpatient. We don't need to see them in person. We can enroll individuals over the phone. The medications will be shipped to their home directly from a national pharmacy. All of the paperwork gets done over a computer, which includes signing a consent form. There's also check-ins and updates that individuals do, letting us know about their health status each day. And then we also have phone follow-ups with them. So it's actually a pretty nice study. It's going to enroll large numbers of patients across the country, so that we can determine whether each of these medications does provide some benefit in individuals getting better more quickly and also staying out of the hospital. This is a two-year effort, and there are more medications to follow. Once we get sufficient numbers of people enrolled in each of the first three drug arms to see either a positive or negative effect, meaning no effect, we will then substitute in additional medications. So I think by the time we're done, we'll have looked at 8 or 9 different medications. So that's ACTIV-6. Now, the other study that we're doing with funds from the NIH is done locally on inpatients here at University Medical Center, and we are studying a drug called Cromolyn sodium. This is also a FDA-approved medication. It's actually a very old medication. It's been used to treat allergic symptoms and allergy for over 40 years. One of the advantages of Cromolyn is, because it's so old, it is generic, it is very inexpensive, and if we show benefit from Cromolyn in patients with COVID-19, it'll be easily accessible, particularly in areas of the world that have far fewer resources than we do, because it's an inexpensive drug. For the Cromolyn study, which we call COVACROME, we are the only site in the country doing this research. This is an investigator-initiated trial with NIH support. And as of this morning, we've enrolled our first 7 patients in the phase 1 of this trial. The medication is for patients admitted to the hospital who require supplemental oxygen, but who are not the sickest patients, meaning they're not the ones who are going onto a ventilator or who are needing high-flow nasal oxygen or high-flow face mask. These are individuals who come in early enough in the course of their disease that they're simply treated with nasal cannula oxygen. They receive nebulization treatments with the Cromolyn 4 times a day for 4 days, and that's followed up with intranasal Cromolyn, a nasal spray that they will continue for a total of 2 weeks, including going home on that medication. So we're in phase 1 of the COVACROME trial. As I say, we've enrolled 7 patients. We're going to enroll 10 patients, all of whom receive active medication, and then we're going to take a pause and assess how they did. We're going to assess whether we have the right dose or whether we need to increase the dose. And then we're going to move to phase 2, which is also a randomized double-blind trial, where half the patients will get the real medication, half will get a matched placebo, so that we can determine whether there's a difference in outcome between those two groups.
Now, is this going to be a two-year study as well with this?
Well, I tell you, at the rate we're going with COVID patients, I think we're going to get done in a matter of 2 months. Unfortunately, we're seeing such an increase in patients that we have a number of subjects to pick from. And as long as we can find individuals that meet our criteria who are willing to participate, I think we'll get a lot of information much more quickly. I'm hoping if we see a positive effect from Cromolyn that we can go back to the NIH Active 6 committee and suggest that we add Cromolyn to our outpatient trial. I think it would be possible to send people small home nebulizers as well as the medication or matching placebo and perhaps include Cromolyn as one of the upcoming drugs for the Active 6 trial. So my hope is within the next 2 to 3 months, we'll have some results. And if they look positive, we will pitch that to the Active 6 committee.
Okay, we look forward to following up with you on this information and this study. I want to move on and talk about the Omicron variant, which has alerted health officials. With the data available so far, what are some things about this variant that concern you?
So this is a moving, fast-moving target, and a lot of information will be coming out in the coming days. I think by Christmas we'll have a very good handle on the Omicron variant, how much of a threat it poses to us nationally as well as here in the borderland. The first thing is Omicron appears to spread very, very easily and very quickly. Second is that individuals who have been vaccinated appear to still be getting sick from the Omicron variant. So that suggests that it partially evades the antibody response that we get from immunization. Now, note I said partially because preliminary data from South Africa, where this was first identified, is that for the most part, people are not getting real sick. They're getting infected. They're having symptoms. They certainly can spread the virus to other individuals, but we're not seeing a big run on the hospitals. So I'm hoping that that holds true here in the United States as well. We do believe that our current vaccines and booster doses of our vaccine provide at least partial protection against Omicron. And this is yet another reason that people who have been on the fence about getting vaccinated or haven't gotten their boosters yet should go out and get vaccinated, get their boosters now.
Okay, now with news of rising cases in our region, there may be some folks listening who are thinking about revising their holiday plans this year. What's your advice to folks as we head into the end of the year holidays on how to stay safe?
Sure. Well, the recommendations haven't changed really from over a year ago. You know, we were really hoping, Anthony, that we would have a normal holiday season this year, that we would be past the worst of COVID-19. And unfortunately, because of Delta and now potentially because of Omicron, that's simply not going to happen. Use of masks, social distancing, hand washing, and vaccination are all the biggest tools we have to keep us safe during the holidays. Holidays are times when people travel, and travel is one way that new variants spread more readily. So if we're going to be together with friends or family members from outside of our community, very important that everyone be vaccinated. And in addition, really important to wear your mask, particularly when you're indoors, when you're in a confined space. I know folks are out shopping right now, and I hope that everybody wears their mask when they're in stores among strangers. Even if you're vaccinated, you can't count simply on being vaccinated as sufficient protection from possibly getting exposed to Delta or to Omicron when it shows up in our community. And masks do a pretty good job of protecting us, as well as protecting others. If perhaps we have the infection and don't realize it, and might be spreading it to others. So if you're getting together with family who are not vaccinated, my suggestion is have them get vaccinated before Christmas. If you do get together, please wear your mask.
Dr. Edward Michelson is professor and chairman of the Department of Emergency Medicine at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center in El Paso. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Michelson.
Thank you, Anthony, and have a wonderful holiday.